morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, TGIF. Yes, thanking God it's Friday. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every single day. So glad to have you listening in this morning. I don't know what you have planned today, but I do know this, that we have a new day and a new opportunity to make a difference in our day. And for me, I was feeling a little more encouraged this morning than I was yesterday. If you tuned into the show yesterday, I was telling you I was getting up and listening to all of the news, and I felt like I was drinking water out of a big hose. I was a little overwhelmed with all of the news, and it wasn't encouraging, and it was actually completely disturbing. I took a different route this morning. I decided that I would go and find the news that I wanted to find and not get so overwhelmed this morning, and I'm feeling pretty encouraged, and I hope you are too. And my heart is, my hope is, by you tuning in each and every day, that you'll get some information, that you'll get stirred up, and you'll figure out a way that you can make a difference in your day towards the goals that you have and the goals that we all have together as conservatives to make a difference in our community, let our light shine a little brighter, and certainly bring some hope into some circumstances that can be extremely overwhelming and somewhat discouraging. And that is kind of my goal and my heart. But it doesn't mean that we don't still call out the darkness, right? We still don't bring to attention these things, these little sneaky things that are coming up and might bite us if we're not aware. And we are better and stronger together by knowing these things. And I just want to give a shout out this morning to all of the volunteers, all of you who have sacrificed your weekends, your time getting out there, your comfort zone, and getting signatures for the Recall Kate Brown effort. A lot of you have never, I've heard stories of people who've never done anything like this before, and it's kind of scary, and you're taking a stand within your family, within your workplace, that you know, things have got to be different. And so hats off to all of our volunteers, all the people who've been working out in the heat, traveling to make sure this happens. Now, there is a need for volunteers this weekend. Marion County is looking for some volunteers to help them as they gather all the petitions, get them numbered, get them turned in. And if you have some extra time and will want to get involved, I encourage you to get involved. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann, and kind of an interesting exercise yesterday afternoon. I drove around Salem to these different locations. You probably heard about a month or so ago, they being the powers that be, the government here in Oregon, to handle the debacle of the unemployment and the lack of getting all of the funds out to 70,000 people still waiting for the pandemic unemployment assistance, right? They decided to do a one-time $500, bonus, I guess, to help them through. And do you know that that kicked off on Wednesday? And yesterday there were lines like two blocks long around these little tiny institutions. I have no idea how they came to select the organizations that they did. Many of them are credit unions. Many of them are small. And people were lined up around the blocks right up here on Lancaster Drive. The credit union kind of down by Winco. I don't even remember the name of it. A little credit union, little tiny, looks like it's in a house almost. It was two blocks long, the line to get in to even pick up an application, I'm guessing, because they're not making any kind of an appointment. And so Oregonians lining up all over the state for the new unemployment benefit, which is a $500 one-time application. And there's millions of dollars in this little pot for some assistance. And you may or may not have heard of it. I'll put it on the Facebook page, on our KSLM radio Facebook page, a link, and you can find out more. If you're needing of assistance, just plan on standing in line for a while to even get in the door. And again, to me, it seems like another attempt to do something of help, but wasn't well thought out of, just like the unemployment and all the people still waiting for unemployment who have not received it because the systems weren't prepared for to be inundated with all the numbers. So another opportunity, if you have received your fundage, as I like to say, or if you've had to wait in line, I'd love to hear your story. Send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. Also, our friends at Kicking Cancer, yeah, they're going to have a one-day fun little event tomorrow. If you are a golfer, perhaps this is something that you may be interested in. There's a putting in pink tomorrow for Kicking Cancer at McNairy Golf Club at 9 a.m., 9 to 11 a.m., $40 a day of event, shirts available. There's all kinds of details. If you go to kickingcancer.org, you can find out more. It sounds like a fun day. The weather looks like it's going to cooperate, and certainly a wonderful cause. Now, you know, we've been hitting pretty hard some of the topics around Oregon right now with the recall, Kate Brown. We've been talking a lot about the mask mandate, and I've been getting your feedback in my email about that and some of your personal stories of going into places as well with your mask and how people are being treated and businesses that are being inundated and being spied upon by the OLCC and OHA and the gotcha moments trying to just catch someone not having a mask on in a business so they can shut the... It feels like that, right? Where is this going? Where is all of this going? That's my question. And one of the things that I keep asking, one of the questions I keep bringing up is, at what point, when we flatten the curve, do we get to start living life again? When can we get back to business as usual or somewhat normal, right? Which I maintain, after all of this, everything is going to be adjusted somewhat, right? To be back to normal. Had a taste of normalcy when we went to South Dakota, which was nice, and all the smiles and all of that. And it's been interesting to kind of watch some of the mainstream media start to say that, oh, there's outbreaks and this and that. Whether it's true or not remains to be said. There was one particular incident in One Eye Jack in downtown Sturgis where I guess an employee, a bartender, had been confirmed with COVID, so that the State Department of Health through South Dakota sent out a notice to let people know anybody who'd been in that saloon between these dates may have been exposed. But that's about the only thing I've heard. And in Oregon, when I asked the question, and here's a really good question, when you're dealing with people of influence, our elected leaders, ask them, at what point can we go back to business as usual? When can we start demasking? When can our kids get back into the classroom and get back to business and normalcy? They won't give an answer. There is no, you know, at first it was a couple weeks, let's flatten the curve, and then we'll get back to business as usual. That has been months ago, right? So one of the things you keep hearing is when we get vaccinated, immunizations, when we get our vaccination. Well, let me throw this out there to you. We have a flu vaccination, and not everybody chooses to get that, and we still have the flu. And so if suddenly they have this immunization for COVID-19, and are they going to use this like they do the mask? You can't go shopping unless you have the immunization. Well, this is concerning to me, and I've gathered up some testimony, and I threw this out on my Facebook page last week, and I had great response from it. I want to bring it up for you to talk about, and I may share this on our page as well when we get and pull it up here. When we get done with the show today, I'll put it up on the page. But there is this vaccine out there for the HPV. And what happened was about 10 years ago, I believe, was an opportunity for this HPV virus to be handled through this vaccination, through Gardasil. And you may or may not know about it, but the human papillomavirus is a sexually transmitted disease that in women can cause cervical cancer. And so, you know, it feels good that we should certainly have something that would prevent cancer, right, in vaccination. But what you don't know is this Gardasil that's been mandated, many health clinics, and they're doing it in the schools as well, and they are putting it into the immunization process just like they do all of that. Like when a child is at 10, they need to have more shots, and when they're 11, they need to have, you know, how that chart of progression and immunizations for children. Well, I've got a gal on the line with me today who personally, I didn't know this about her story, but she shared with me a friend from South Dakota that I've known for many years, her story in dealing with immunization. And I've got her on the line. I'm going to bring her up here. Her name is Casey. And we had an opportunity actually to see each other during Sturgis. Good morning to you, Casey. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
So glad to have you on the air. And I didn't know your personal story. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, and then we'll get into a little bit more of the details of what happened to you and your daughter.
Sure. As you said, I'm from the Black Hills of South Dakota. Lived here all my life. I have three beautiful children. We've had many, many trials throughout our years as I am a single mom. And we just kind of keep moving forward with our lives, no matter the good, the bad that's thrown at us.
You and I met.
That's pretty much us.
Mm-hmm. We met several years ago, in fact. I believe our college days at the radio station there in Spearfish, South Dakota, when I was going to Black Hills State. And I don't remember if you were going as well to Black Hills State or you were an intern. Remind me of that.
I was actually in high school.
In high school?
And working for the radio station, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So that's certainly dating both of us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then several years later, we reconnected, and here she had a beautiful family, and you have had your challenges, particularly dealing with health and different things. And I just love how God weaves people in and out of our lives for specific purposes. And you and I had an opportunity to have a wonderful breakfast when I was there in the Black Hills and get caught up. And what I love about you, and I'm just going to affirm you right now, Casey, is your heart for people. You have a strong heart for people. You yourself have contended, and you're a survivor in many areas of your life, and you're determined, and you don't give up. Where do you find your strength?
Oh, wow. It just kind of comes to me. Like you said, I'm a fighter. I guess I would be considered what they call a warrior. That kind of stuff where I don't look at bad things as a defeat. I actually look at them as a lesson. And you can take so much information from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now those lessons change every single day. I don't attribute it to myself and just that kind of stuff. It's just the way you have to look at it. Sometimes you have to kick the bias out of things and just revamp and stop and really think things through. And I think that's where the strength comes from. Honestly, otherwise, I really don't know. It's probably just faith there, mm-hmm. an unguided hand that I didn't know about that is just kind of there pushing or helping me think things, the process through everything.
Well, and
that's the best way to describe it.
I think you've done a really good job, and that's really what it is. We know that who we are and whose we are. And he takes care of us, doesn't he? When we come back from this, I want to get into your story. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. What do you think about the vaccinations and coming down the pike, the forced mandate of vaccinations? We're going to get into it when we get back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning, wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Wherever you're listening today, hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and I know we picked up some listeners all over the country. It was so fun to meet so many people. When we were in the Black Hills of South Dakota, people came all over from New Jersey, New Hampshire, from Florida, Texas. We met people from Minnesota and certainly Las Vegas and even Oregonians and Washingtonians came over to the Black Hills for Sturgis. It was such an adventure and such amazing to connect. And people are listening online from all over. Thank you for tuning in today. And if you're in Arkansas this morning, special shout out to our family and friends there. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. And this morning, the discussion is about vaccinations. And in particular, this is really close to home to me because I have two daughters and I have three granddaughters. And Gardasil, it was licensed and three doses recommended from the ages 11 to 12 years old for girls and teenagers. And there were thousands of reported sudden collapse of unconsciousness within 24 hours. Seizures, muscle pain, weakness, disabling fatigue, Guillain-Barré syndrome, facial paralysis, brain inflammation, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, blood clots, optic neuritis, multiple sclerosis, strokes, heart, and other serious health problems, including death, followed receipt of the Gardasil vaccine. So critical that the Japanese government stopped giving Gardasil vaccine in 2013 after health officials recorded nearly 2,000 adverse reactions. So they're all over the country. I mean, I've got a long list, and I will put this up on our Facebook on KSLM Radio so you can look at it. But I'm using this as an example because this is something that supposedly had been researched for many years before they made it known. And then they're saying, parents, this is what you need to do to prevent cervical cancer. Of course, this is cervical cancer is a serious cancer, and it's very troubling for women. And HPV virus is a serious virus. You can get it. Men carry it, don't know they have it, oftentimes don't even break out of it, but it affects women, and it infects women and can cause serious problems. Certainly in young women, it can prevent pregnancy and all kinds of things. I see the need for it, but I do also think having a really heart-to-heart discussion with our young teenagers about their young sexual activity prior to marriage is a good start. Casey, you and I have known each other for a long time, and we've been friends, and we've known each other pre-children, pre-marriage, all of those things. And when we have children, we want to, as parents, we want to do the best thing for our kids, right? We want them to be healthy. And we're not unrealistic about the cultural pressures, certainly, to experiment and have sex at a young age. So we want to do the right thing. Talk to me a little bit about your story with your daughter and what had happened and how you came to the point where you felt like it was important to have this immunization in your daughter's life. Talk to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was the typical mom. I trusted doctors in this stuff. So I just took their face worth with what they were telling me in the doctor's office. However, a little back history on me myself, I actually had cervical cancer from HPV in my early 20s. And so I am a survivor of it. It was important to me. I knew it came out. I knew that the average age was 12. We were asked in the doctor's office, and I'm like, yeah, we'll go ahead and do it. It's a series of three shots. I had to go through the process of getting insurance at the time to cover it because the shots were not cheap. But it was very important to me because of what I went through. Mm-hmm. Because of me having the cervical cancer from HPV, I actually was, for my last child, a high risk due to the treatment that I had to have. Mm-hmm. Now, he is my last child, and would I love more? Absolutely. However, that was not in my cards because of this cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of backstory with me. Anyway, back to my daughter. I took her in. She was 12 at the time. Got the insurance to cover it. Thought everything was going great, did the first two shots, and then the third shot. And that's when some things really turned bad, and I mean really bad. I still don't remember absolutely every symptom that she had, but she almost lost her life out of it. Very, very sad. It disrupted her life. I thought that she was going to have facial scarring because the swelling that she had was so bad. The hives, it wasn't just an allergic reaction. I want you guys to understand that. It was, she had so much swelling that it was affecting her breathing. She was being given high doses of antihistamines to kind of help take swelling down for the lungs, that kind of stuff. Inhalers, nebulizers, and you name it, they threw it at her. Steroids. It was just a very bad situation. And the sad part was that it didn't even happen within the first 24 hours. It was about 3 days after. You know, the spiked fevers, that kind of stuff. They didn't even know how to handle it because they didn't think it was the vaccine that did it until later on, until the allergist, because she had some longer existing things that happened. And the allergist is, yes, it was from the vaccine. And her body couldn't process some of the chemicals, that kind of stuff. So it actually damaged her. It was the proteins. And I don't know all the scientific terminology there, so you guys can research all that, you know, if you want. However, it created a whole other issue. Not only did she almost lose her life, but then I ended up dealing with legal issues from the school district on it, which is very, very sad, because they were trying to mandate this vaccine, trying to get it on their boards and stuff like that. So they were making our family an example. You know, she was at home supposed to be healing, and here they're forcing truancy on it.
Wow.
And, you know, it's not just a vaccine and damaging to the person. It's actually a whole other ballgame when you get into it. You know, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail because that was years of fighting the school district after that. But it did so much damage to her, not only that, but mentally. She went back to school early because of truancy laws. You know, and legally they can enforce any of that.
When we come back, when we come back from this break, Casey, I want to talk a little bit about kind of the... the protocol afterwards and how she's doing now. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. We're talking about vaccinations this morning, and using the HPV vaccination by Gardasil is kind of an example, and you'll find out why as we move along the show. Stay tuned. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Stacey Ann with Casey this morning. We'll be back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning to you. Hello, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday. Looks like it's going to be a wonderful weekend. Temperatures in the 80s. What do you got planned? We are on the topic of immunizations on this Friday morning and listening to a personal story of my friend Casey and her family. And as a parent and a grandparent now, I have three. In fact, when I was back in South Dakota, I got to hold my and spend some time with my newest granddaughter, Colby. My daughter, Shelby, has three granddaughters. Chloe, that's eight. Collins, it's two, and bouncing from wall to wall. She's full of energy. And then baby Colby, and now she's juggling. In fact, she just sent me a text yesterday and said to myself and to my mom, please pray for me. I'm not sure. She's still on maternity leave. And they're juggling right there in the Black Hills of South Dakota, trying to figure out what to do about school. Some school, depending on where they're at, they'll go part of the day, not the other part of the day, and trying to figure out. And on top of that, her daycare provider now is not doing daycare anymore. And so a little bit of a quandary trying to figure out, juggle all of that. And of course, certainly it ramps up the prayers, and I know they'll figure it out. But I just think of all these parents right now dealing with the schools and immunization. And all this, you want to go along to get along. You want to follow the guidance of the professionals who's supposed to know what's best for us, right? And we're kind of taught and conditioned not to question. Now, Casey, we talked a little bit about your story and about your personal experience having been a survivor of cervical cancer yourself, wanting to do the right thing for your daughter. And so as these professionals say, this is what you should do for her to prevent this. I'm curious, when you were doing all of the informed consent and filling out all the paperwork to let them know that or let them do this for your daughter, the immunization, did you get a sense that it was safe and that it had been thoroughly tested and all of those kinds of things? What were your thoughts there?
I actually did. You know, I really wasn't given a pamphlet. I was given just kind of the same old vaccination sheet on what to expect, that kind of stuff, but I trusted our doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trusted them that they would be educated in it. You know, they deal with this stuff every single day. They're the ones that we go to. And you should have that communication trust. Now, it's also my fault for not researching it more. Mm-hmm. But at the time, too, there wasn't a lot of information out there.
So let me ask you this. In the years since then, what has your daughter contended with? Is she pretty much over all of that? Is she still having some issues tied to that? What are your thoughts there?
You know, my thought on that is she has what they call a neurocardiovascular syncope, which nobody in our family history on both sides has any heart conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So now whether this is a true side effect of the shots, I have no idea.
Mm.
She does struggle with fatigue. She does struggle with other things. But other than that, she's a pretty healthy woman. We have not hit the point of her wanting children yet, mm-hmm. but that's not to say she might not have problems. I have no idea.
Well, I certainly appreciate you telling your story, your personal story. We've got another caller on the line. We're going to welcome them to the conversation as well. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Is this Brooke?
This is Brooke.
Welcome to the conversation this morning. Talk to us a little bit about your experiences with immunizations and how that has affected your family and what you're doing about it.
Oh, definitely. Well, first, Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your story. It definitely, hit the mama's heart without a doubt. And, you know, my story goes with my daughter. She is currently 8. However, she, you know, I trusted the system, was doing all the vaccinations the way the doctors recommended in the schedule, you know, didn't really do a ton of research either. Multiple kids, it's not a lot of time to do extra research and such. You just trust the doctors and go along with it. She ended up developing chronic juvenile migraines at a very early age. By the time she was 1 year old, I knew that there was something not quite right, and I couldn't figure it out. She was speech delayed, so she couldn't tell me what was going on. And so we were just trying to figure it out, and, you know, just going off her symptoms and the little bit that she could tell us. And she started speech therapy at 2, and the speech therapist is actually the one that really helped me to really start the process to figure out what was going on. And this will lead to immunizations in a minute, but it was a long process. And the speech therapist actually noticed that 1 week her speech would be improved, the next week her speech would be regressed. And this is going on and on because she started encouraging me to start documenting. And so I started documenting, and I had like a book of documentation of all the odd things, her behavior changes, her mood changes, her just different things that she was doing and not sort of things that were just odd for her, and how her speech would change, you know, after one of those episodes. And then I started noticing she was actually having staring episodes. Those are still undiagnosed. We suspect they might be minor seizures, but we don't know. She mm-hmm. still has them at 8 years old, and this is at 2. Anyways, long story short, we finally had two EEGs and an MRI, and with my book of documentation, finally got diagnosed with juvenile chronic migraines at the age of 3. then within, she was also having chronic UTIs, and we didn't know for a while that that's what it was, again, because she was speech delayed, and she was having chronic UTIs, and finally, through a whole bunch of juggling, kind of got that figured out, and so she's been on daily antibiotics because she can now back up a tiny bit. I apologize. She was completely potty trained a few months before she turned 3. About three months before she turned 3, she was completely potty trained. She was doing great, and she got her MMR vaccine at age 3, and within just a couple of days, that's when she started having the bladder issues.
Mm.
And is that coincidence? Maybe, but it seems odd with everything else that she's been dealing with. And we've just been, you know, fighting that ever since. She still has bladder dysfunction. She cannot empty her bladder all the way. She cannot, she has constant leakage all day, and which is really hard. I mean, she's 8 years old, or she'll be nine in a couple of months in school. So she has to wear a, you know, feminine pad all day just to keep the smell and to keep her underwear and her clothes dry so she might have to change her clothes throughout the day at school. It's so emotionally hard for her. She has really high intense anxiety, you know, all these different things. Long story short, kind of wrapping up to immunizations, when she was in kindergarten, the nurse called me and said, oh, she's missing her DTaP vaccine, her booster for 5 years old. And I said, okay. Well, by this time, she was already six. Mm-hmm. Her birthday's early in the fall. And her doctor said, oh, well, we can't do it here because she's already six, but you can go to the health authority or the health whatever and get it done there. So I called them, made an appointment. I picked her up early from school to go get this, you know, the booster DTaP immunization. And leaving the parking lot, I get a phone call from them saying, oh, don't bring her in. We can't give her the immunization. I'm like, what? Why? I don't understand. Oh, well, she's had too many.
Oh, wow.
What? She's had too many? Well, I'm like, what? I was so confused. And all of a sudden, of course, red flags all through my brain because, you know, she's my second daughter. Mm-hmm. And she's the one with chronic migraines, with the bladder stuff, with the anxiety, with the staring episode. She has all these things going on, and she was over-vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing research. I started really checking it out and trying to figure out, like, could that cause all this stuff? Could over-vaccinating, you know, having too many cause any of these issues? Long story short, I ended up finding out that she actually ended up having, after a bunch of research, and so she ended up having six DTaP vaccines by the time she was 30 months old.
Oh, wow.
When the schedule is five vaccines by 5 years old. Nobody can answer to me why that happened. It's at this point, you can't change it, so I'm just trying to figure out how to live with it and live with, you know, what, you know, I believe is damaged from that. And So
as a parent, again, kind of like I asked Casey, you know, you're following the professional's guidelines. You know, when we have a baby, you know, it's like, this is the wellness check and this is what you need to do. And this is when you have these immunizations, you're following, you're trusting, you're putting your trust into public health, thinking that they've done all the research on these vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they do the consent, you know, they tell you, you know, sign this form, and there could be some adverse reaction, but it's not real common, yada, yada, right? So right. Have you had more children since your daughter, and what are you doing differently with their immunizations?
Yes, I actually have two more, so we have a total of four kiddos, and so my oldest actually has ADHD. And then my number two, the one I was just talking about, has all the other health issues. My third one, when I found out about my eight-year-old being over-vaccinated and such, I did all the research, and I could not stomach giving him any more vaccinations or anything like that. So he was 15 months the last time he had any. Prior to that, he had constant ear infections, and he was, you know, as an infant, he was super sick. He got his first cold about 6 weeks old, you know, two older siblings, like, you know, you kind of expect that, not a big deal, but he went in for his, he wasn't quite over it at his 8 week checkup where they gave you boosters. And I said, oh no, I'll come back for those when he's better. No big deal. I just don't want to give it to him while he's sick. And they insisted that no, it won't affect it. It's fine. You can give it to him while he's sick. No problem.
Hold that thought, Brooke. We're going to go on to a break right now. Hold on the line, Casey and Brooke. I have a question for you when we come back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're talking about vaccinations, and I'm leading into something and a question for our listeners today about the vaccination to come. And are you going to take it? We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Hello, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, enjoying a wonderful Friday morning with you. We're having a great discussion this morning, talking about immunizations and real-life up-close stories of how families are being impacted by immunization that already have been through and processed and supposedly safe and good for us, right? And I've been leading up the whole time, you know, talking about the HPV virus and then Brooke telling her story about, you know, just the regular, as your children grow in age and getting ready for school immunizations. Well, here's something that I've got Brooke and Casey both on the line and I want to hear your reaction to this. Did some research earlier in the week about this vaccine to come, right, and dealing with COVID-19. And it seems like even with the mask mandate going on in Oregon, that initially when they mandated the mask 3 months into the COVID-19 threat, they would say, well, there's exemptions. There's exemptions. If you have a medical exemption, you don't have to. Now, if you really pay attention, they're not even honoring exemptions. Like if you can't breathe, you still have to wear a mask. There's no exemption, or you can't be in or be served a drink or food or et cetera. So let me tell you this. This is from the American Medical Association, and it's talking about how to ready patients now so they'll get a COVID-19 vaccine later. This is what, once a winning COVID-19 vaccine emerges from dozens of developments, how do we ensure that the healthcare system will deliver the vaccine to the public? First, it's imperative today to start combating vaccine hesitancy, concerns about vaccine safety, choice, and the very need for vaccination. The authors caution that vaccine hesitancy may be a major barrier to people getting the vaccine and creating herd immunity. The mere availability of a vaccine is insufficient to guarantee broad immunological protection. The vaccine must also be acceptable to both the health community and the general public. So they're already starting to condition and coach the healthcare providers on how they can prepare mentally patients to go along, to get along, get the vaccine. And you see where this is leading. And I want to hear from you, Casey, and then I want to hear from you, Brooke. How do our listeners, how do we prepare ourselves to be able to say no? How do we prepare mentally? How do we prepare our loved ones to not just go along to get along, get this vaccine for COVID-19 or be forced into it, where we don't know they have been developing this vaccine in such a fast pace. We have no idea the implications health-wise and medically from it. What are your thoughts, Casey?
You know, that's kind of a very, very scary slope that you're talking about. You know, my thought is absolutely not. But I think what you're talking about with talking to your family and stuff like that, I think we all need to step back and really think, is this smart of us? You know, especially if we've been damaged by a vaccine or we're immune compromised because of something else. You know, we got to step back and be like, okay, what is this? Is this a fit for all? Absolutely not, because everybody reacts differently. You know, I'm going to say no. Now, how to prepare mentally, I think we have to have those tough conversations with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they're old enough to understand or not, that's kind of going to be your judgment. I know for us, we've already had that discussion in our family,
mm-hmm.
and none of us will do it.
Okay.
Absolutely none. You know, and that's my opinion on it. I think there's too many risk factors, you know, and naturally we're supposed to have an automatic immune system to certain things. Now it's new to us. Our body, it's foreign to our bodies,
mm-hmm.
but if you're healthy, you should be okay. You know, not saying that the virus isn't real and it's not deadly. It's just the fact that if you take your precautions and actually educate yourself and do that, you should be able to, for the most part, fight off the minor.
That's right.
On that.
Well, I appreciate you being,
that's my opinion.
I appreciate you being a part of the show and sharing your story this morning. Thank you, Casey. You have a blessed weekend,
okay.
And we'll
you
be
too.
In touch, okay? Take care.
Thank you.
So, Brooke, kind of throwing out the same question to you, talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on this COVID-19 immunization and what do we need to do to prepare ourselves and what are you doing with your family?
Well, first is absolutely not. It's really scary how quickly they have produced and quote-unquote tested the safety of this vaccine. If you do the research, normal vaccines is 4 to 6 years minimum for production and testing and all that sort of thing of a vaccine. So, and they started working on this, yes, before COVID actually hit, but having it out and available to the public as quickly as they are planning is very scary.
Yes.
And having it available as massively as they are going to be able to have it, they've actually had it in production already for quite some time, which is, again, is scary for the safety, in my opinion. As far as preparing mentally, probably the biggest thing as far as a parent that you kind of have to prepare mentally for is when you're at the doctor's office and they are offering it, they get pushy. Mm-hmm. They will start to pressure you and start to make you feel like a bad parent for not getting it. And so you do have to be prepared mentally for that pressure, for that backlash, for that implication that you're a bad parent for not getting it, either for yourself or for your family. I've personally experienced that, and it is hard. And so that would be the biggest thing that I would recommend for any parent or person that is choosing not to get it, is to prepare for the backlash, prepare for the pressure from the health professionals, and that sort of thing.
And tying us to as well, I'm going to tie it, take this big jump and tie it to politically motivated. I think as we're looking at our candidates right now running for office, whether it be our school board, especially our school board, our a council, our, you know, commission, our state representatives and senators, all the way up to Congress, the House and senators that are running for Congress, all the way up to president, where do they line up on this issue? And are they going to allow for religious liberty and personal exemptions? Because it looks like through the AMA and some of these researched articles that I've done just on a Google search, they're trying to condition everybody to go against the resistance. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make it just like these mask mandates that, nope, you can't go into the store if you're not show proof that you've been immunized against COVID-19 or whatever, you know, you're not going to have the freedom and the liberty. And I think it's a frog in boiling water. I think we need to do the best that we can. We need to have these discussions with our elected leaders. Where do you stand on this issue? Are you going to honor religious liberty and exemptions? Are you going to honor it? You know, where are you at on this? Because I think this, again, kind of like the life issue for me, it's a big issue, and it's the main issue that our friend Anna, who's running for our state house, that's what got her and her community all involved, because they were the forced immunizations here in our state, and the kids going to school and all of that. And so I think these are issues that are really important. If you have a story regarding immunizations that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear it. Send me an email, stacy@ksl.news. Thank you, Brooke, for being a part of the discussion this morning. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today, my friends. Boy, the hour sure does go super duper fast. I'm so glad to have you tune in today. We've got a great week lined up next week with some fantastic topics. Thank you again for letting me know your feedback. Hope you have a fantastic day. No matter what you're facing today, remember, over, under, around, or through, we are overcomers. Don't forget to get those Recall Kate Brown signatures in today. Help out if you can. We'll see you on Monday. Be blessed.